Panic and Treat the Podcast is a personal podcast produced for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content reflects the host's opinions and personal experiences as new graduate nurses. It does not constitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
All patient details have been changed or left out to protect privacy in accordance to HIPAA guidelines. Any resemblance to real people is purely coincidental. The point of views in this podcast are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers, schools, or any organizations we are connected to. For health concerns or concerns of a general nature, please talk to a qualified professional. And with that, let's get started.
Hello, besties. Hey, how are you guys this week?
It's Jess.
And it's Alora.
And this is the Panic and Treat Podcast.
Hello. All right, let's get right into this week.
All right.
I think we should just talk about the pink in the room right now.
Yes. So, oh my gosh, you guys. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
We are cancer awareness girlies, so in October we wear pink.
Everybody, and it's a little ghost.
With a little pumpkin for all our Spotify and Apple yes. podcast listeners.
We need it. We'll post pictures of us in our t-shirts later.
We're going to have to for everybody. We said we were going to start doing that. We're like, we need like cute, just like in our fit pictures.
Our fit pictures,
instead of just the videos. Okay. I don't know. We're getting used to the whole social media thing. It's kind of a little crazy ride, honestly. And then peep to all our video watchers. All of our new decorations.
We got some pictures. This one, I don't know if we can see it totally, maybe on a different angle because we set up more cameras too. Mm-hmm. This is our nurse's affirmations, which I feel like everybody needs. And then obviously, gossip.
This is where we gossip.
Yeah.
And then we have all our spooky decor. Yep. We are Spooktober girls. So you're going to just see rearranging of even more probably.
Yes.
That little spooky decor coming around our way.
What are we drinking this week, Alora?
All right. Well, what did we decide to call these bad boys?
Blood bags.
So what that really is, actually, is just a Shirley Temple. Because we're Shirley Temple girls in this household.
Yes, and we brought out our cute little cups from Sip Sip Hooray that we ordered a while ago and opened.
Yes. Ready? Get that good clink.
Good job.
Wait, hold on. One more. Okay.
All right, guys. Let's test them.
Fantabulous.
Oh, yeah. She's good.
I love these.
She's good. And then our candle of the week is the Vampire Blood, which goes along with our blood bag theme.
Spooky theme.
From Bath & Body Works.
Oh, can't wait to hit up that semi-annual sale. Get all my...
I heard they're not doing it anymore.
No.
They're going Victoria's Secret on us.
No. Yeah. Don't say that. Bath & Body Works. I might just cry if you do that. Oh, well. End of the day. Moving on, then. I'll have to find somebody else to get my candles from.
No.
That's okay.
So the name of this episode this week is going to be Code Clear, Clear Communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to let Alora start off this week because she really wants to talk about, she's got a lot of questions from just like our friends and people we know about SBAR and some tips and tricks. And she, let me tell you, I've gotten a report from this girl. She gives the best.
Oh gosh. Sometimes I try.
The best reports. I love it. And I've heard from other nurses too that they love Alora's reports. So we'll let her talk about
Whereas
it.
Every single time that I give a report, I'm like, you tell me what I'm missing. I'm like... Like, don't you leave this place feeling right. Like I didn't tell you something you needed to know. Oh, gosh, I like to make sure everybody's informed. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to do this episode, and Jess agreed with me, because I think it's one of the hardest things as a new grad is to learn how to professionally communicate with your coworkers, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to, like, doctors or people that, you know, like, your scopes are different. Like, you're a nurse. You know kind of what you need to be doing. It's really, it's I don't even know what all the doctors do. Like, I just know that it's my job to make sure you know about this patient.
Yes.
And I'm like, whatever you decide to do with it from there, that's a you problem, my friend. But it's one of the biggest things I've noticed, is like even in me and then on, you know, the girls on the floor that I work with, even when I was in nursing school and I had already had just a little bit of LPN experience watching people do the sim lab when they're talking to doctors and everything. It's just not... It's not something that you're able to do naturally. I don't think anybody is. Like,
no,
I have struggled. I still struggle with it.
It's definitely a learning curve. And it's hard to know, like, when you're new, what's important and what's not.
And I feel like it's a lot of things that you learn. It's like, am I giving too much information? Am I not giving enough information? What information should I be giving when I'm talking to this doctor? Like, what if they don't want to listen to me and they're very curt on the phone? You know, because every single person you're going to talk to doctor-wise is different. Like, you're going to have to learn how to kind of talk to each doctor individually, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But you're going to learn as you go. But we just have a couple little, like, tips and tricks now that we're kind of finally smoothly getting into, like, talking to these doctors and learning how to advocate for our patients correctly. Yep. So we wanted to talk to you guys about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into this.
All right.
Has anybody ever heard of the S-bar?
If you are a nursing student and don't know what it is, that's okay.
Have you been a nursing student and just got the tinglies in a bad way?
Yes. Somebody.
Because I brought up some spooky memories.
Somebody will teach you eventually if you don't already know. It's kind of day one, but.
Okay. Let's just describe what it is off the bat. Like, just for our people that are maybe in nursing school, haven't heard of this before. So SBAR, it stands for Situation, Background, Assessment, and Recommendation. And there's a reason we go in this order, and there's a reason it's so widely recommended, because it gets all the nitty gritty in a faster way. So. Your situation, right? So you're in the moment and you're noticing.
Tell
me how you like to do it.
Okay, first. So I add I to the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Introduce that. Or identify yourself.
Yes.
I absolutely hate when I get a phone call and somebody's like, hey, Jess, you're patient and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who are you?
Literally.
Okay.
Who am I?
Well, yeah,
are you calling the right person?
And so here's the thing, like, if you think about it, how many nurses we're talking doctors here. We'll talk doctors here today.
Yeah.
How many nurses are calling them for different patients?
Well, there's at least 200 nurses given in the hospital probably at one time during the day shift. So about, not maybe half, at least a quarter.
Yeah.
At least a quarter.
So it's nice to call, and I always start with, hey, it's Jess from A2.
Yes.
Or... I work on E2, so I identify myself where I work.
Yes.
Because they've got people calling them from the ED, they got people calling them from the ICU, so it's kind of nice to know, okay, I'm thinking of my patients on that floor.
Okay. Yeah. Established location.
And then I always say, we are taken care of. And I like the word we, because we're a team.
I say, I have a patient with you.
Yeah, that too, that works too. But I would say, we are taken care of, and then I tell them the patient room, their name.
Full name,
right. Because how many times do you have, like, two Johnsons on the floor or two Smiths? It happens.
Or Bob.
Too many Bobs. Or Martinez. Martinez is one that we get multiples of.
Yes.
They're just very common names. So you need to identify, like, what room they are, who they are. And then I always tell them they're here for whatever. This is what's going on.
Situation.
Yep. So why are they there? What's important about it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, and that kind of, like, situation brings it into the background.
Yes.
And then your assessment is the A.
Yeah, because most of the time you're starting with, hey, this patient was admitted for.
Yep.
And then you're moving into, because that tells them kind of like primary, like maybe what the issue might be.
Yes.
I know our night doctors are very big on that right now. Yes. Making sure they know what the chief complaint was coming in versus like what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Continue.
Sorry. And then A stands for assessment. So what important things do you tell them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so let's go with, you have a respiratory patient, because you get a lot of respiratory patients.
Yep.
What are some things that, when you're looking at this patient and you're calling them for something that's going on, they're there for a respiratory complaint, what are some of the things that you're telling them that you've assessed?
Okay. So if I have a respiratory patient, so I'm saying, hey, this is a lower up on medical. I've got a patient to you admitted for maybe a COPD exacerbation. Mm-hmm. So upon assessment, honestly, I might... say, like, hey, maybe they have a history of asthma, too, or maybe they're still a current smoker, you know, that's part of the situation. And I think it depends on what exactly I'm assessing that's wrong with them. Like, if I am doing lung sounds and I'm like, oh, my goodness, they sound really crappy right now.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, before I even call the doctor, we usually have something called a PRN or an as-needed nebulizer treatment. Yep. So I'm trying that first. So, like, remember, ladies, when we're calling, and our guys, I know, my nurse is out there, you know. Anyway, so all my nurses out there, if you have something in your PRNs that you think can help in the moment, use your toolbox first before you have to call that doctor. Because if you call them and, you know, you're saying, like, hey, my patient just sounds like their lung sounds are very tight, they're very coarse, you know, they're just kind of labored, and they go, well, did you do the PRN neb treatment? And you go, well, no, they're not going to be super kind, unfortunately. You're still going to do
you
it.
You know what, though, new grads?
I've done it, so it don't
you're
matter.
You're learning. You're not done. You're you overwhelmed.
Say, and then you confidently say, oh, my gosh, thank you. I'll call you back later if I have concerns.
Yes.
And you hang up.
And you hang up.
Yes.
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 I definitely call called and done that. But also, I like to call and tell them, okay, these are all of the things that I've tried.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's kind of where I was leading in with that. Yeah. Like, we're talking. So, I've done my assessment. They're still sounding like crud after I did that NEB treatment for them. And they're still kind of having that labored, troubled breathing. I get on the phone and I say, hey, I've tried, and, you know, I do my situation, my background, and I go into my assessment and I say, this is what their lungs sound like. This didn't sound like this earlier.
This is a change.
Yeah. And then you're going to give them a set of vitals that are pertinent to whatever is going on.
Anytime you guys go in a room, and I learned this recently, anytime you guys go in a room and you're assessing something different, the first thing you need to do is start running vitals. Because every single doctor is going to ask you for their latest set of vitals. Yes. So just make it.
Especially because if you have to take them to the ICU in an instant, like, they're going to want that newest set as well, too. Yes. So that way you can just confidently say, oh, I already did that. Let me give those to you rather than, oh, gosh, I didn't get those. Let me get them now.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you've moved on. You've told them there is a change in whatever has been going on. And then you move into what you've tried already. If you have tried anything that is applicable to what you're allowed to do in your scope of nursing.
Yes.
So I would say, hey, I've done several NEB treatments with this person already. Their stats aren't changing and they're still having this labored breathing. What would you recommend in this instance? And if I have a recommendation, I will give that. But remember, all of our nurses, we cannot diagnose. We cannot treat.
I had a patient one time that had a catheter and was having bladder spasms. And because of the bladder spasms, their bladder was like clamping down on the catheter.
Oh gosh.
And luckily I had another nurse that had been in that situation before. And she was like, okay, did you try XYZ? I deflated the balloon and pushed it in a little further. Did all of that. Like, I repositioned it, did all of those things, right? That we do to try to get the flow back. And she was like, the last time I saw this, they had to give the patient, was it BMX? I think it's BMX.
Diuretic?
It helps with bladder spasms. Oh, I think it's BMX.
Interesting.
Anyway, and we had already given this guy, like, diuretics because he hadn't had Alpine all day. And we were thinking, like, oh, he's just, like, not, he's, like, retaining fluid and he's not putting out anything. It's all going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so I had called the doctor and I was like, hey, we did all of these things. I said, I talked to another nurse and she recommended asking you for... I think it was, I'm not even going to say it, the med.
Yeah.
And
whatever said med, whatever magical med was. And I said,
the reason she said that, and I gave him the whole thing, and he went, I don't know. Let me call you back.
Okay.
So I waited, and he called me back, and he goes, I did some research into what you just recommended, and I think we can try that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did, and of course, this was at like 5:30, so it was getting close to shift change. And so the night nurse, the next day, I got the patient back, and she was like, that was a really good recommendation as soon as they quit complaining of the pain. It went away. Mm-hmm. And tons of urine output overnight.
Oh, because it had, like, clamped down and it wasn't, like, actually emptying? Yes,
the
bladder had, like,
clamped down onto the catheter and it wasn't emptying.
Interesting.
Yeah. But we replaced the catheter. We did a bunch of stuff. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. We tried all kinds of things before I, like, recommended that. And so, like, oh, don't be afraid to also, like, recommend, like, non-pharmacological things.
Oh, yeah. Try all of your this is not an emergency.
Yes.
Try all of your non-pharm stuff before you go to the medications. I know they teach it to you in nursing school, but I think sometimes, you know, when we get to the floor in all realities, we can kind of be a little bit quick to use the medications that we have on board. But sometimes it really does just take a little non-pharm thing. Like, when I have my patients that are, like, super nauseous and everything, you know, obviously we have Zofran, which is a medication. However, sometimes it can cause prolonged heartbeats, and we don't like that. So to try and use it as little as possible, I love a good alcohol swab. People look at me like I'm insane
and
when
works.
I shove it. Yeah, I shove it towards their nose and I say, go ahead and inhale that. And I'm like, it don't smell good. But
we have the aroma tabs.
I follow up with one of those. But I'm like, you need something like really quick to kind of like divert the pathways first. Yeah. So I hit them with the alcohol swab and I say, go ahead and sniff that for me.
The pregnant girls on the floor said that the purple wipes work too.
I bet. And then I followed up with a nice little orange peppermint one. And that, a lot of the times, will actually take care of it. And I don't even have to go get Zofran. You know, like, if it's still persisting, you know, use your medications at your disposal. Or, like, say you have somebody with chronic pain. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is that repositioning, even if they don't want to. Even if they don't want to, and that's a big thing. Because they'll be grumpy and they'll be like, well, it'll just hurt more. but sometimes just getting.
Do you know how many people forget that ice packs exist?
Yeah, or heat packs.
Or heat packs.
I love a good heat pack.
Yes. I'm like, let's try this. And then if that's not working in like 10, 15 mm-hmm. minutes, we'll call the doctor. Yeah. Because I don't have anything I can give you right now. Like, I usually, once I get like through all my payments, I'm like, we got to try something else. Let's try elevating it. Let's try repositioning you. Let's do the things.
Yeah. Just try it all. That way, if it's an emergent situation.
I've even resorted to being like, how am I? Like, I had a lady with a broken hip and she was just so uncomfortable mm-hmm. and nothing was touching her. And I was like, how about a nice bed bath?
Yeah.
And we gave her a bed bath and she would sleep afterwards. Literally, it just like calmed her body down enough that she could rest.
And sometimes those non-farms are not going to work. Like, I had a doctor mm-hmm. who I worked with who would not let, like, if you were retaining urine, which means, like, you can't physically pee for some reason or another, she would not give me an order for a Foley catheter until I had dipped their fingers in warm water to try and get them to be...
You're joking. Yeah.
No, I called one night because I had done all the things. Like, I had made them get up. I had made them walk around. I'm not exactly sure what ended up happening or why they needed... Because he did, like, further testing, but I wasn't there that day. But anyway, so we had done all the things. Like, I had literally done every trick up my book to help this poor woman pee, and it was not happening. So I was like, we might just have to do a straight cath. Yeah. And so I called the doctor, and I did the whole thing. I did the S-part, and I said, hey, this is what I have tried already. This is not working. We might need a straight cath. And she said, well, did you put their fingers in warm water? And I said...
No, you're like, what are we pulling things out of patients now?
And I said, no, I'll call you back. And she was dead serious. And I was like, okay, you know what? Why not, right? Maybe if that's what does it, that's what does it. And this patient looked at me like I was cuckoo as a Cocoa Puff. Because I brought up my cup of warm water. And I said, hey, girl, put your fingers in.
Oh my god.
And we both sat there and she had her finger in the cup like this for 5 minutes and I looked at her and I was like, anything? She went, no! And I went, well, I'm sorry, okay? We had to try it. And we did end up fully. She had like, oh god, that poor girl. And we got her all fixed up. She went home a couple days later.
Oh my god,
I just think it's so funny because I go back to that. And anytime somebody needs a Foley catheter,
you're like,
now,
did you put their hands in warm water?
Did you put their hands in warm water? And they look at me and they're like, no, Lori, I didn't. And I'm like, well.
Listen, it works. You literally. Somebody's. Oh my god.
I don't know. If that has actually ever worked for anybody, let me know.
Let us know in the comments because that's hilarious. I feel like we're pulling. It looks like a middle school prank.
I was like, okay. No.
That didn't work.
No, it didn't work at all. And I called her back and I was like, what? What the hell was that? That was a terrible recommendation.
Did you tell him that? Because I would have been like, you're insane.
And I'd have been like, I did tell her. I was like, has that worked? And she went, well, no, not yet. And I was like, then why are you asking me? Felt a little hazed.
There is a deal. Oh my god.
It's just one of my funny stories. I just think it's so funny now. But, oh gosh. So let's get into that. Advocating for your patients even when you have a difficult doctor. Because I think, or even a physical therapist or a respiratory therapist, or if you just, whoever other party you're intending to communicate to, mm-hmm. you have a patient complaint, like you are concerned for this patient and you think, hey, maybe they're not going to listen to me, or maybe this is not a big deal. Say it anyways.
Notify somebody anyway, because the things that sometimes you think something's so little mm-hmm. is not a big deal, but then it is something that does affect, like,
yeah,
the overall big picture for that patient. You know, you never know. You never know. It could literally be like, oh, they haven't eaten all day, and it's like, they have a stomach blockage, so they're not hungry. Or like something crazy. Yeah. That you're like, oh, it's fine, you know, they're sick, they're not. Something little could be an indication of something big.
Well, and at the end of the day, like, you don't want to have to, and I don't want to say this to scare anybody because going to court is very rare, I hear, mm-hmm. but you don't want like something very unfortunate to have happened and somebody in court is looking at your documentation going, well, you saw this, but you didn't say anything. Why didn't you say anything? You know,
yeah.
Like, and you can always talk. And I would always say, use your references around you. Like, you can always talk to other like more experienced nurses mm-hmm. and say, hey, is this normal for kind of like the disease process that we're working with right now? Or is this something that like I need to bring up?
Worry about.
Yeah, I need to bring up to somebody. Yeah. Like, we once had it wasn't my patient, but we had a fluid overloaded patient once, but nobody knew it because they didn't look like super edematous or anything. Like, they weren't presenting kind of like being as fluid overloaded as they were. But So we had that patient who was not like presenting as fluid overload at the time, but they were getting continuous fluids, which for my non-nursing people just means that we have an IV and we're pushing some sort of like water or saline solution or sugar, water, whatever the heck, or electrolyte water that we're putting through them. And this nurse had, you know, done, you know, her assessment earlier and the lungs sounded clear. They sounded fine. Mm-hmm. But throughout the night, like, this patient started having, like, a really, like, random, like, occasional cough. That, like, they weren't here for any, like, sickness stuff or anything, right? And we're all kind of passing by this room and we're hearing the cough. And everybody's kind of, like, readers are going, ding, 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 ding. Something's weird. And so, that's what I do in my head. Anyway, so we're looking at this nurse and we're like, hey, have you listened to their lungs again? Like, is that cough, like, something they've had? You know, is that normal for them right now? Are they here with like a rhinovirus or just the common cold or whatever? She went, no. And so everybody went, well, maybe go listen to them again. Crackles everywhere in their lungs. Like that water was straight just backing up into the fucking lungs there. So yeah, like it's just like, but you wouldn't, if you had not known and you haven't been a nurse for very long, it might just sound like an occasional cough, you know, something, you know, just that happens. But everybody else around was like, no, that means
something weird's going on.
That means like further assessment. So if your patient starts doing something that they weren't previously doing and doesn't make sense for their disease process, assess again. We love a good reassessment.
Yes.
You're probably going to be assessing 5 or 6 times in your shift, even if you're not documenting it. Like,
yeah, even if it's not like a full, like, don't do full head to toes, but you need to do at least one so you know your baseline for the shift. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, like, every time you walk in the room, technically, you're assessing, right? You're doing multiple things. You're looking at your patient, like, is something changing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, like, I think the hardest part as a new grad for me was, or for me, is figuring out, like, is that a change or is that just the patient?
Yes. I think the biggest thing I've struggled with is, it's only really taken me up until recently to really kind of feel confident. And I don't know if this is concerning, but I'm going to talk to you anyways about it.
Yes.
Know? I'm like, sometimes I feel like the doctors get a little annoyed with us because, you know, we're bringing up stuff that maybe they don't think is super relevant to, you know, what they're treating. But I'm like, dude, I'm going to notify you anyways, because maybe I'm just concerned about it. Maybe. And you know, these are professionals that have more education than we do.
Yeah.
Like, they're our coworkers, but these are very knowledgeable people. So I don't ever think it's a bad thing to find a doctor and be like, hey, you and your little educated mind, come here. I want to pick your brain about something.
Yeah, clearly.
You know, I need a little bit more information about this. Because, you know, you can always Google things on the internet, but sometimes they're just not pertinent to what you're wanting from the doctor. You know, like, you're like, I want what you think, not what the internet thinks about this.
Yeah.
So that's what I've just gotten, like, more comfortable with recently. Maybe it's because I know the doctors a little bit more now. Like, they know who I am. I know who they are. They know I'm not just, like, messaging just to be like, hey, girly pop, how's your day going?
Listen, when you get to the day shift, you're going to find your faves.
I know. I'm so excited to go to the days. I'm like, just really excited to be bothering them with my questions even more. Be like, hey, bestie, since you're the one that's actually doing the direct care for,
like,
this patient.
You're going to be like me, chasing them into rooms. And be like, I'm trying to round with you. Come
literally
here.
But yeah, that's like, that's my biggest thing so far. So that even if you, like, maybe you think it's a big deal. Maybe if other people don't even think it's a big deal, but it's weighing on you. And you're like, I just don't know about this. Talk to somebody about
trust
it.
Your intuition.
Yes.
Do you guys know more than you think you know? And if you have a gut feeling about something, bring it up. The worst that they're going to say is, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about that. Like, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
Just keep, you know, continue to monitor.
Oh, let's get into that afterwards.
Oh, yes. At least you notified somebody so that if it does come back, like, you know that you did what you could.
Yeah.
And if it's still something that's changing, like, and you are like, there is something going on, keep bringing it up. Keep bringing it up. Eventually, either they're going to get so annoyed with you that they come and see the patient and, like, calm your anxiety about it, or they're going to come and see the patient and see that, like, what you're seeing is real.
You're going to be like, they're going to be like, oh, maybe you should have been here sooner. You're going to be like, I told you so.
Yep. So just keep bringing things up, like, keep that communication open.
Yes. It's always better to deal with problems early than to get to them too late.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should want to be, you know, unless you're in the ICU, obviously, because you're already at the critical care, you're at the higher care already. But if you're a floor nurse of any other sort, you should be trying your very best to make sure we never even get to ICU level.
Yep.
within like your scope of realm, possibly. But I think that's our next big thing. Document everything you talk to people about.
Yeah.
Document everything.
I hate it. I have to stop what I'm doing when I call doctors,
mm-hmm.
even though like obviously I'm doing a million things, and sit down and do it at the computer because I will completely forget.
Yeah. Like that is just one of the biggest things about like legal charting is like, unless you documented it, it didn't happen. Like, mm-hmm. maybe they could pull phone logs and see that you did place a phone call somewhere, but it's much easier to look at the chart and be like, oh, they did notify somebody about something.
Yes.
And it's not just for your doctors. It's when you're talking to the respiratory therapist. It's when you're talking to PT. It's when you're talking to the social work.
Somewhere out there is a class, and it's charting for a jury.
Mm-hmm. I tried to look that up, and I don't know if that even exists.
I don't even know if that's what it's called anymore.
Okay.
But it used to be, like, how to chart as if you were, like, going to court.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that could be very useful.
I just bought a book. It's called Charting Like a Boss.
Ooh, okay.
And if I really love it, I'll share it with everybody else.
Ooh, yes, okay. Let us know.
Yeah, it's like a $34 book, and I had to buy it from the lady because it's, like, a small business. It's not something you can buy.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it's not just something you can buy on Amazon or the TikTok shop, which was kind of, like, irking me. But, oh, well. Actually, I think I did buy it on the TikTok shop. I will link it below if
we'll
I like
your
it.
Thoughts. Yeah, we'll go back
say,
if it's good.
Let me read it first, and then I'll see if it's because you know she looks like she's like a yeah. We'll get there.
She looks.
But I'll definitely like send that your way too, and we can decide whether it's something we want to share on the podcast or not.
Cool.
But yes, you need to chart that you talk to everybody, and I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts on this. When you chart a communication, because at our hospital, we use the Epic charting system.
Yep.
So it's got several different boxes. So it's got a box for like kind of what you're calling them for, like different categories.
Yeah.
And then it's got a box that says, what are you calling them about? So do you elaborate or do you keep it vague?
I keep it vague.
Okay.
If it's like a critical lab, I'll put, you know, potassium, whatever. Uh-huh. Or, like, whatever, I put what I'm specifically calling them for.
Yeah.
So, if I'm calling them about a blood pressure, I put that blood pressure in that box.
Yeah.
So that if anybody does have to ever go back and look at it, they can look at that and be like, okay, she called about this blood pressure, and then go to the vitals tab and look and see what time that actually was taken.
Yeah.
So that it, like, there's, like, a roadmap.
Yes.
Is how I do it. I do. I'm not like, oh, and then they said this, and then I said this. No, I
don't know.
I saw
one nurse that says, like, they just, like, copy and paste their message into that box so that it has exactly what they... messaged about. So I'm not sure. I really think we should totally find some sort of like medical legal consultant that
yes.
like works on these cases and
yes.
have them come like
tell
yes
us.
And be
yes.
like be like, what do you look at? Like, how can we best set ourselves up for success? You
we'll
know,
make your job easier because we charted correctly.
Yeah. I'm like, what do you like to see? You
yes.
know, like what is condemning? That's what I want to know.
Yes. What are we going to go to jail for?
I know. I'm like,
don't look good in orange.
Literally. Like, I think it washes me out.
A little bit. So back to the SBAR thing. So Laura and I have been talking about like making report sheets for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, a lot of the sheets out there are more of, like, ICU level. I feel like...
Sometimes they're just not specified enough to the
yes,
unit you're on.
Yes. Or they're, like, they're too vague. And you need to know more. Like,
mm-hmm.
I like to carry those in my pocket because if I'm in another room and somebody asks me a question, instead of having to, like, stop what I'm doing, I can pull it out of my pocket and be like, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I know this about my patient.
I know. I kind of want to start carrying, like... Well, I don't know how practical it is, but I kind of want to start, like, carrying my report sheets around with me. Just
yeah.
in case something crazy ever were to happen.
Well,
and
then they're
like,
not laying... HIPAA. They're not
yeah.
laying around where they're accessible to people who should not be accessing them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I want to find something that's... I don't think I can handle a one-sheeter for all five of my patients during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, something that it's... That I can... Like, there's enough space to write down the important things that I would need to know right away. Like, if there was a code...
Yes.
Like, things I would need to know, so that I don't
oh,
have to, like...
Let's talk about that real quick. Okay.
Yes.
Let's do that, because we've both been in codes at this point. Like,
mm-hmm.
So let's go over exactly what you probably should be saying in the code. And I think it very much follows the SBAR situation.
Yep.
So you're stating the patient, you're stating their data, you're stating their date of birth, you're saying what they came in for.
Why they're there.
Any pertinent history that you think might be related to what's happening. Like when I had, did I ever talk about my code on, I haven't talked about the code that I was in on this, or have I?
Let's save it.
I don't, yeah, I was going to say, let's save it
because I feel like that's a whole episode that we could talk about codes that we've been in.
Okay.
And, like, what went well or what didn't go well.
Yeah, okay, I think we should, because I think that's something that, it's, like, very daunting until you're in it, you know, and some of us trial it by fire around here. Okay, but then, but you're telling them any pertinent history that you think is important, and then any medications that they have currently had within the last, like, day or so.
Yes.
Especially, like, blood thinners is a big one.
And new medications.
Any, like, heart blockers, like, beta blockers, any, like, cardiac medications at all.
Yeah.
Any electrolytes you're replacing at the current moment, and, like, any maybe opioids that they've taken, I think are the big ones that...
Yeah.
Because that can interact with other medications. But yeah. We'll save that for another day, I think. We'll go more into it. We'll have like a whole like a code blue episode, you know?
Yes, I love it.
Yes. And I can tell you about my terrible ass code.
It
was interesting.
Yep.
It was interesting.
But as far as like really important in those emergency situations, because as the primary nurse, you're going to be telling a lot of people things.
Yeah, well, you're going to be one, the one primarily discussing with the doctor, because that's going to be the, because he's, you know, he or she is the one leading the code, and they're going to have to make these decisions based off of the information you're going to give them, because they have no clue who this person is other than kind of like their chart in front of them.
Yep. So, but the SBAR is also really important in like report, because it gives you a roadmap of like how to communicate the pertinent information.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that they ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich yesterday unless they're allergic to peanut butter.
Go off, queen.
You know, like so there's some nurses, like, you don't know what to say, so you say everything.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't find it in the chart and it's important, you need to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's important and I can't find it in the chart, why is it not in the chart?
Literally.
They always say, there's literally, somebody posted, I don't know if it was my boss or not, but somebody on our floor posted, if it's important enough to be said in report, it's important enough for the care plan.
Yeah.
You should be able to tell me, report should not take that long.
Yeah.
I feel like the longest report I've ever gotten was like over 10 minutes, and I was like, are you done yet?
I think it definitely depends on how medically complex said person is, because there's been a couple times where my report was over 10 minutes, because I'm like, that's just how much was going wrong that we were doing for them. But they were more like PCU level, like people that probably should not have been on the floor, but they weren't like ICU criteria.
Yeah.
Because we've said, friends, that we don't have a PCU here, so sometimes we get a people that are a little bit more complex than we should be taking care of, but you know, we got them anyways.
But like, being able to tell us, and being able to tell the person coming on the important things that they need to know to take care of that patient.
All right, so let's do it then. Let's list off. So here's the things that I think are universally, like whatever floor you're on would be applicable as a new grad to tell people. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like it's really hard. Like, what do I include in the report and what do I not include in the report? So obviously name and date of birth, biggest thing. Our hospital is very big on bedside rounding. I don't know how big other hospitals
are. It's getting there.
I think it's getting there. It's supposed to be, you know, the new thing.
But even
if, you know, your hospital isn't doing that yet, literally advocate to do it, because you catch so many things.
The nurses who have been nurses forever, when we first started this a couple years ago, were so mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because they couldn't leave the shift if something was... You know, a little funky.
And I tell you, I'm the nurse in there when you're giving me a report. And I actually, my boss kind of brought this up one time. She was like, I start cleaning the room up. If it's a disaster, you're going to stand there while I clean it up.
Yeah. Maybe help out.
Yeah.
We'll save that for the next episode.
Yes. That's etiquette. But I want to know their name. I want to know their code status.
Yes, that should be the first three things you do. Yep. Name, date of birth, code status.
Those are the most important things. Okay, and then I want to know why they're there.
Yes.
Why are they admitted to the floor? Mm-hmm. I want to know what their admitting diagnosis is.
Yes.
Then I want to know their...
Usually I like to do, like right after that, so I'll do the name, date of birth, the code status. Then I like to do, hey, the admitting diagnosis is this. Down in the ER when they came in, this is what they were presenting with.
Yep.
Especially if they're on the newer side to the admission. Like, if they've already been here a month, out the window, I do not care. You could look at that in the chart. We probably, if they're here for a month, we've usually probably gotten done with that problem and we're moving on to the next problem.
Yes.
So name, date of birth, full or code status, admitting diagnosis, what was seen down in the ER, move into the pertinent history. Because that's usually, it just follows
and
so
then,
well.
Yes. And then I want to know, like, what's been going on since they've gotten there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, oh, they're on their second unit of blood and, you know, their labs are this. It looks like you're going to have to give another unit today. Or whatever it is, like, setting up the expectations of what you know could happen on their shift is great. Being like, hey, I just gave them a Tylenol at 6:05, so their next Tylenol is this time.
Yeah.
Cool. So in 2 hours when the patient asks, you can be like, hey, actually, no, you just had that Tylenol at this time. The night nurse gave it to you. And it's obviously it's in the chart, but like who sometimes it gets so crazy, especially on day shift. I don't have time to look up everybody's pain meds. So if I wrote it down on my paper, I can pull my paper out real quick in the med room.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, it's right here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to like stop what I'm doing at the Omni cell and go over to the computer. Like it flows so much better and it sets your teammates up for success when you give a good report and they know what's going on. And if there's anything crazy that happened on your shift, especially night shift, we need to know for days because we round up the doctors. So if we don't know that they were up all night jumping on the bed being crazy, we can't tell the doctor. And a lot of places, like I've griped about this before, the care plans at our hospital, not everybody puts that shift update in there.
Yeah, I think, Sometimes I don't.
Hot take, the whole rest of the care plan is completely useless to me.
Literally.
I don't care. I don't care about any of that.
If I have a patient that I did absolutely nothing with, I don't put anything in there. Because I'm like, you don't need that update. Because our report is going to be like 2 minutes long and I'm going to be like, they were wonderful. Goodbye.
Yes.
But yeah, if you had, well, and I think that's all part of like the documentation process is that if something happens, you're able to go back and be like, oh, it's in that care plan too.
Well,
like this was addressed.
Our doctors are on for 7 days and off for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so they switch over on Wednesdays. And I think for them, and I've heard this from a couple of them, it's kind of nice to be able to look at a patient chart and see, like, yes, the doctor's notes obviously say, but how many doctor's notes have you looked at? And they say, per nursing staff, no events overnight.
Okay, but they do that anyways, and I do put the update in, and I have to actually look at that doctor and go, did you read my note? And they go, no. And I went,
this is going to sound like the younger doctors are reading the notes.
As they should be, because I write important shit.
I know. And I'm like, okay, but then, you know, but also, like, other people look at, like, case managers look at that to see what kind of resources people need, respiratory therapy. Like, everybody's looking at their care plan and looking at their stuff. That little tiny blurb that takes, like, just a quick second, like, give me the highlights. Like, what's the most important thing that happened this shift?
Yeah.
Makes it so that what you tell the nurse on that you're giving report to, you have backup on that as documentation.
Yeah. So, recap. What we've gone over so far, you're going to want that name and date of birth in there, and you're going to want that code status, that admitting diagnosis, that ER admit. Yeah, that ER admit signs and symptoms. Then you want to go into your pertinent history. Then you're moving on to your nursing assessment. So what did you see during the night? What do you think that needs to be addressed by this upcoming staff? If you're the night shift, usually you're adding things that you want the doctor to put into, you know, the plan of care that you're wanting the day shift nurse to implement. And then I always like to add my lines in. So like what lines do I have going? Are they saline locked? Which to my non-nursing people means that we flush salty water, just like very slightly salty water through that IV and then clamp it and cap it. That
way, hooked up to anything.
That way it doesn't clot and we can continue using that vein and you're not hooked up to anything. Or that is a very great conversation that leads into, hey, I am running something. This is what I'm running. This is what I'm going to anticipate you're going to run.
And look at your pumps, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you as a new nurse.
Look and see what's running somebody almost caught a midair. Because, and this was a while ago, a nurse had hung a bag of fluids that was the wrong bag of fluids.
Oh, gosh.
And they didn't scan them. They, like, manually programmed the pump. So the pump didn't come, like, that check was not there. And also, scan your meds.
Mm-hmm. There is no reason you shouldn't have a 100% scan rate.
Yes. Have you
caveat, unless you work in the ER or the ICU, because I know there's several emergency meds.
Yes. Those are different. We're talking about, like, the floor here.
Yes.
Scan your meds. It is a safety check on you. And it is a safety check on the doctor. Like, And read, when it caught something up on your MAR, read it. Because it's telling you that something is not right or something's not matching. And you mm-hmm. need to stop and check and make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
They're there for a reason.
Yes. And it will prevent so many med errors.
Yes. And I've seen so many nurses just like click through them and they're like, whatever. But it's important. And it's important because it catches yeah. things that
like human are human. The other night, I literally had an admit come up and they had already gotten, it was a respiratory patient.
That's what I said. Tell us about a respiratory patient.
That's my thing. That's my thing now, you guys. Anyway, so I had a respiratory patient come up and they were receiving remdesivir for COVID. And that's one of our meds. It's one of the few meds that we can give for viral illnesses to kind of help yes. Reduce like how it's making you feel. So it's called remdesivir. And then they also got something called Decadron, mm-hmm. which is, if I do believe, if I remember
it's
correctly.
It's a form of prednisone.
Yes. And it's like an immunosuppression thing to help like yes. Airway dilation. So anyways, this person had received both down in the ED. And, you know, I'm doing my admin and I'm putting in all my orders and, I go to release them and it's got the worn up popping box and it's like, hey, you already gave like the max dose that you can for this patient, for the day. Like, do you want to
continue?
And usually like at our hospital, when our orders have been reviewed by a clinician, like it says where their name popped up. So my doctor had reviewed it. Mm-hmm. So I just clicked through and I was like, okay, I'm going to come back to that though, because it popped up for me to give it again on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I went and I did my little thinky brain, cause you're going to have a nurse intuition. It's going to build really quickly. I don't think enough new nurses give themselves enough credit
yes.
for how quickly something goes ruh-roh in your head.
That's
one of our fourth semester teachers would say, but you're going to learn really quickly. But anyway, so I looked at it and I went, I'm not going to get that right now. Mm-hmm. And so I messaged the doctor back and I said, hey, bestie, did you want to do that? No, because never be afraid to be like, hey, I'm asking for my clarification. Are we doing this?
Yes. Are we giving another
dose? I would say it exactly like that too. Because, you know, you don't want to sound like you're questioning the doctor's intentions. Well, some people get upset with that.
But once again, like, we are a safety check.
Yes.
Pharmacy is a safety check.
Yeah.
It goes through the safety checks.
We are a checks and balances yes. system. Like,
so never be afraid to be like, hey, I already gave that today. Do we really need another dose? I had a patient one day that I was giving like multiple doses of Lasix to. And yeah. I was like, I've never given that much before. That seems kind of a lot. And yeah. I had it called and asked. Mm-hmm. And the doctor was like, oh no, I'm just like, I want it done this way. Just so she doesn't get hit all at once with like one big dose. And yeah. he had like split it up in like different times. Mm-hmm. And so... But I was like, I've never done that before, and that's weird to me.
Yeah. So, all my little new nurses, never be afraid to just ask a clarification question. And always put it back on yourself. Be like, hey, I'm not understanding this process. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and enlighten me. And sometimes that leads them to double check and go, oh, shit, I messed something up.
Yes.
And that way it's easy. That's professional communication.
Professional communication.
But anyway, so I messaged this doctor, this ER doctor, and I was like, hey, would you like me to give this on the floor? I see that they already had this amount. And don't be afraid to add, like, specifics into your chat. Like, don't be
vague. Specifics are important.
Do not be vague in your chats. Like, if you have concerns, bring them up specifically. Like, if you're giving certain medications, list how much you're giving and what frequency you're giving them at. Like, don't be vague about it, because then they have to go in and check the charts and,
Oh, yeah. If I'm calling about a medication and it, like, peanuts, yeah. for example, if I have given them everything I can and I'm having to call because, like, you have to notify a physician for uncontrolled pain, right?
Yes.
And I'm like, hey, we've done X, Y, Z. I gave them this amount at this time. It's been this long. Like, mm-hmm. things are not changing. They need to know that, because that's a change in status.
Yeah, so anyway, so I messaged and I was like, hey, are we doing that? And she went, no. I have the pharmacy retime that. Thanks for actually catching that. I didn't mm-hmm. catch that. And sometimes, like, they're human, too. Like, there's things.
And Epic does some weird stuff sometimes.
It does, I think, because she was like, I didn't even order that, but it was part of the ER order set that just transferred over.
Yes.
And then, yeah, anyways, but like I said, all my new nurses, question the orders. That's what your job is there to do.
If it looks funny, if it doesn't look right, listen to your yeah. intuition and ask a question.
Yeah.
Because... They caught that.
I was going to say, if I had given more and I had just, you know, followed it, like, I obviously didn't look up, you know, what the,
That would have been a different conversation. You would have had to call and been like, so I fucked up.
No, I would have been like, you fucked up and I followed the fuck up.
Yes. Yes.
But totally yeah, so I didn't even look up, like, what could happen, you know, if I had given more than the initial that they'd gotten down in the ED, but I didn't, because I was like, hey, Missy, that doesn't look right. So that's kind of just my spiel on that. It's just when, following Jessica, when you say, when you're looking at those warning boxes, look at them. Do not just click and move on with your life. Because that's how you end up with med errors.
Yeah, and they're there for a reason. They're there for safety. Mm-hmm. It's to protect your patient.
Literally.
So.
I was going to say something after that, too. And then you had a beautiful little thing, and my idea box went off, and now I can't remember my other thing.
You want me to turn it back on for you?
No.
Because it's gone. It's gone. Anything else you wanted to give on professional communication? I think we should do my...
When to message versus when to secure chat.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, let's move on to that. So, my friends, if you are using the Epic interface, you have sometimes the option to message the doctor about things. And then sometimes you have to have a call. And I think it's kind of a hard, especially, you know, when you have both options, it's kind of hard as a new nurse.
Which is more appropriate, yeah.
Yeah, like it's kind of hard as a new nurse to go, when is a good time to message versus when is a good time to call them. So my general thumb of rule is that if I need something done right now, obviously we're going to call. Doesn't matter what it is. Like if I need like an order within the next 5 minutes, you have got to call them.
Or it's a change in status.
Or if you have a change in status, you're definitely going to want to call them. Because they need to like hear you in real time saying, hey, there's something wrong. This is what I'm seeing. Because sometimes they'll have you do a different assessment on the phone. They'll be like, hey, can you test this for me real quick and tell me what you're seeing? I've had that several times.
Yes.
But if I'm just needing, like, maybe, like, the patient has a med request for, like, maybe a mucinex or something.
Yes.
I'll message about that. If I have just a concern that I'm not thinking, it's, like, not, like, exactly a change in status. Like, maybe I'm thinking they're a little bit more edematous today than they were yesterday.
Or it's, like...
Their urine looks a little different or something.
Yeah, or I'm like, hey, they haven't pooped in 3 days.
Something that's not, like, they're still medically stable, but I'm seeing a change. I do like to message sometimes and be like, are we concerned?
Yes.
Sometimes I don't know.
Or if I'm, like, reassessing something. Say you had a patient that had, like, a low blood pressure and we gave a bolus.
Mm-hmm.
And their blood pressure came back to normal.
Yeah.
I'm going to just send them a chat real quick.
Yeah. So you called them when the blood pressure is unstable.
Yes, I called them when it was unstable.
But I'm just narrating it for the people that like can start to kind of like formulate in their mind
how
they need to
call. But when it's back to normal and I'm just like giving them an update, or like I've had patients who like we were waiting on, like they were a conditional discharge and we were waiting on something, and I can read my doctors now to know like what kind of day they're having when I see them in person on the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that is not something that, like, they met their thing, I'm sending them home. Or they didn't meet their thing, and if they didn't meet their thing, I'm going to call you. But if it's like, okay, I'm just so you know, like, I am discharging them because they met your conditional discharge or whatever, I'll just, like, click, click, click.
But remember, all our beautiful new grads, you cannot put in orders using a communication from a secure chat. Yes. It is not an official form of communication.
It has to be a verbal order.
You have got to call them if you're wanting to put an order in for them, because you do have that is within your scope. As long as they have given you the verbal order, you are allowed to put that in the computer. But if you do not call them on the phone and they're like, oh, can you do this? You politely say back, hey, can you put that in for me? Because I can't take this message over secure chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just ask them to call you and tell you it.
Yeah. Or do that. Like, either way.
Because you have to read it back to them. And
whatever works. Honestly, I really wish we had a different way.
I know.
Like, a secure
form. I very rarely take over the phone orders from doctors.
I think maybe it's just me. Like, sometimes I feel like I have an auditory processing disorder. Because sometimes they say the order over the phone, and I'm like, oh.
Well, and some of our doctors have accents, and so it's really hard to... There's certain doctors, like, I cannot understand them on the phone. And I will... If I am asking them for something, and they say something back to me, and I can't understand them, I will literally be like, can you just text that to me real quick?
Yeah. I always get a little peeved.
But it's never about, like, putting in an order.
Yeah, I always get a little peeved when I take orders over the phone. And I do, and I, you know, I read back the whole thing, and I'm getting in there, and I'm like, perfect, I can do this. And then I see that there's a parameter that I have to put in there that they did not tell me about. And I'm like, oh, God. Especially with, like, blood pressure medications. Yeah. I'm like, why do you want the parameter to be?
Yes.
But
that's one of those things that, like, just making sure you're hitting all your check marks, right? before you hit that sign button for
them. So be very careful, my new grads, with all your putting orders in for other people.
And technically, I think when you put it in as like a verbal, they still have to go in and approve it at some point. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it pops up on their list of
things. Yes, there's like things that they have to say, yes, I said that.
Yeah.
But then also, like, when you put it, when you do that, you need to put in your communication, there's like the response. Mm-hmm. You need to put see orders. You need to put en route to bedside. You need to put.
Oh, like, and remember, ladies and gentlemen, continue to monitor is an order.
Is an order?
Yes.
So, but also, I always say until when.
Yeah, that was my follow-up brainchild. Okay. Yes. Okay, yes, you were talking about this, and I was like, oh, we need to talk about that more. Because it's very easy for you to message your provider and say, hey, I'm concerned about this. And they say, it's fine, right? And you say, when do you want me to communicate to you that it's not fine? Like, where is our cutoff of this is now concerning? When do you want me to notify you? I have to do this a lot for, like, people with, you know, like, little crazy heart rhythms.
Yes.
And stuff. Or it's always hard stuff.
Have you ever had a doctor put you in do not disturb?
Yes.
I'm not saying, like, oh, here's on. I'm like, hey, buddy.
I have had that happen once where I was, oh, my gosh, this lady. It was just so crazy. She had a lot of heart stuff going on. And this doctor was not very receptive to talking to me because I would be like, hey, bestie. Let me preface this, podcasters. I do not type this. I say, hello, doctor, whoever this is. I don't say that, but for the pod, they're all the besties.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? I do love most of my doctors. Most of them. Anyways.
You know who you are.
Anyway. Anyways, love, love, so, yeah, so, like, you know, crazy heart stuff going on, and their heart rate's going boop, 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 all night long, and I'm like, when do you want me to communicate to you, like, what's the lowest heart rate you want to hear about, what's the highest heart rate you want to hear about, what are the rhythms you're wanting to hear about,
yes.
And this doctor was just not very receptive to giving me that information. They were just like, well, when you think, and I'm like, well, I think I'm calling you right
you're
now.
Like, I'm calling you right now, that's literally. What I think. So what do you
yeah, want? Yeah, we were having this conversation several times, and she just would not give me a parameter she wanted to, like, know at, and she would just be kind of like a little upsetty spaghetti on the phone that I was even calling, because she was like, I'm not concerned about this. And I'm like, well, tell me when you want to be concerned.
Yeah, when are you concerned, lady?
And then she put me on do not disturb, so I called her again and I say, hey, I saw that you're on do not disturb.
So I can't message you anymore, so now I'm gonna call you over 5 minutes.
And that's when she finally put in parameters, and I'm just like, we could have, I don't know. And
one of the nurses.
You know, I'd just be interested to see, like, the doctor side, like,
kind of. I want to shadow a doctor one day just to see what their day is like.
I do too.
Is that weird?
No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, I did. I used to. I did. Yeah, that's true. I did a while ago. But I'm like, I want to follow our doctors at our hospital because I never followed a doctor here.
I want to know.
I want to see your day to day. I want to just be inside your brain. I just want to know what you're thinking. But yeah, so always ask for parameters for concerning, like, assessments that maybe the doctor isn't concerned about yet. So, like, maybe we'll use blood pressures as an example. Like, we know 120 over 80 is our perfect little blood pressure. When they're getting high, like, we're talking 180s over 110s. Like, where's your concern button at, doctors? When do you want to be notified of a blood pressure? Versus, like, yeah, kind of like your story about the low blood pressure thing. Like, what's the lowest blood pressure we're okay with right now before I need to, like, call you and be like, hey, fluids or something else ASAP.
And usually laughs at me. I'm like, what's their map?
And I was going to say, new grads, a map of a 65 and below warrants some sort of notification to
someone. That's a call and be like, hey, I'm panicking.
Yes. Because even that might just be where they live. That's up to the doctor to decide, though. That might just be a part of whatever condition they're going through. That is up for the doctor to decide, not you. Mm-hmm. You've got to say something about it. So new grads, yes. A map under 65, you let them know.
Panic.
No, don't panic.
I panic.
Not yet.
Panic a treat.
Depends. If it's under 60, I panic.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh God, it's not working. I'm like, I need something. I don't know what I need. But if it's in between 60 and 65, call, but don't panic. But anything below 60, I think is a good panic button.
Listen, Jessica's very lax. I'm like, what pressure's over here?
I don't know. I'm all for watching those little sepsis. And I'm like, oh, sepsis pops up real fast, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
it can change the body within several hours. I'm always watching.
Have you is there somebody, and I preface this, I have a nurse that I'm, like, envious of because she gives the most kick-ass reports. Mm-hmm. Have you interacted with a nurse that you're like, oh, I want to give a report like you when I get older? When you're like, when I'm a grown-up nurse.
Yes, literally, when I get bigger.
When I'm a grown-up nurse. There was this nurse, and she works on our resource team, and she gave me a report one day, and I, like, completely glazed over it and was just, like, in awe of her because she went through it. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me, and she's like, do you have any questions? And I was like, the most amazing report I've ever gotten in my life. And I just stared at her. And I was still precepting at this time. It was my LPN preceptor. And I looked at my preceptor, and she looked at me, and I was like, that was the most amazing. And she was like, I need to learn how to do that. And I was like, I need to learn how to do that.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like, yeah, sometimes I still feel like I jump around too much when I give reports. So yeah. I'm like, I think I could be that nurse someday. I'm not there yet, though.
Bedside shift report, when I'm in there, sometimes I forget things, and when I'm looking at them, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm, like, physically looking
at them. I do have a nurse that I have that, yes. Every time I get a report from her, but I also get so scared to give her a report, because she is just on her number, you know? Like, she's a kick-ass nurse, and yes. She just, like, she's got everything done. All her lines are labeled. Her room is gorgeous. Her patients love her. She's just on top of her stuff all day long. All I hear is a doctor say she's a very thorough nurse. And God, I love getting a report from her, but I'm so scared to give a report to her sometimes. Because I'm like, I don't want you to think less of me.
Please don't judge me.
I love you. Love me back. Don't think less of me.
Don't judge me.
I love her. But yeah.
No, so, like, I
find a nurse to look up to.
Find your idols, you guys. You got to find somebody who you want to be when you grow up.
Literally. And then make your own report sheet. I think that's a really good thing to do.
Yeah, like, we're working on that.
Once you get a flow going, and you kind of know what you want in your report versus what you feel like you're able to look up on the chart on the daily, mm-hmm. It's much easier to not to use the cookie cutter one and just create your own. Yeah. It works a little bit better. We're in the process.
We're working on ours. So once we design ours, we'll share them with you guys and see if they work for you too.
Yeah. I was going to say, we're all for open resources and all that around here. Maybe we'll look on it.
If you guys have a report sheet that you absolutely love, mm-hmm. Send it our way. I'll put our email address up here. Yeah. Any other thoughts for this week?
No, I think that's a good place to stop. Next week, we're going to go a little bit into nursing etiquette and kind of elaborate more on what to do for your coworkers to make it a good shift versus what they can do for you versus what is going to make you both better
nurses. Well, and just building relationships with your coworkers.
Yeah, so. We're going to do a lot. It's going to be good. Oh, that was a good episode, I think.
Yep.
All right, everybody.
Ciao.